This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
The John and Gordy Morning Show is on the air. Phone lines are open at 608-879-8255. 608-879-TALK. You can also call or text the guys on the free Civic Media app. Now, here they are, live from our studios on State Street in Madison, Wisconsin, John and Gordy.
.7 WMDX. Johnny Gordy in the morning.
It's beautiful out there. 27 degrees, highs in the mid 40s today. A lot of sunshine on the way. Jim Santel in about 20 minutes or less, right? I can't do math this early
half
in the
hour.
Half an hour.
It's a half hour from now. Never mind. Okay. He's going to be here talking about legal stuff.
Yeah.
All kinds of.
And if you got any input whatsoever, just feel free to text us from the Civic Media app or give us a call. Either
That's
way.
Right.
All right. We want to hear from you. We do have one text here, and that's from Mark, who called us already. And
right.
Let me just scroll up. The Nazis also recorded their deportations, and is Trump confiscating any property? The deportees own.
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But we've seen plenty of video from Chicago and from Atlanta and from all over.
Okay. We're kind of, at this point, putting a little bit of a hold on the big story, and that is adapting to paying more for the products that we buy at the store because we have to deal with those tariffs. I mean, this is a big plan. This is what Trump is going to do to throw his weight around the globe. All right.
How are those egg prices
and we got to give him a chance to do it. So
sure.
We should suffer just a little bit, just like we did through inflation. All right. But first, this is the big story. All federal grants and loan disbursements are on pause.
Yes.
By Trump.
As of 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah. That's right.
A freeze on federal grants and loans. That's the headline.
And there's a reason for it. And this is from somebody within the administration. Financial assistance should be dedicated to advancing administration priorities, focusing taxpayer dollars to advance a stronger and safer America. You know, that's just words. That's just dressing on this BS, right? Eliminating the financial burden of inflation for citizens, unleashing American energy and manufacturing, ending wokeness, unbelievable that it doesn't have any meaning whatsoever, and the weaponization of government, promoting efficiency in government, and making America healthy again. That is the most inane description ever. And it continues, the use of federal resources to advance Marxist equity, transgenderism, and Green New Deal social engineering policies is a waste of taxpayer dollars that does not improve the day-to-day lives of those we serve. Now, of course, we all have noticed that we're not getting the services that we need already, that we need to improve on that. But these guys are getting rid of all of those services because it may not be a part of their administration priorities.
Yes. This freeze could significantly impact programs used by millions of Americans, including food and rent assistance.
Wow.
Early childhood programs. Nonprofit organizations, children's health insurance, suicide hotlines, things like that.
Well, this certainly sounds like it's going to advance a stronger and safer America, right? Wow.
We got a question on the text line. Does this apply to student loans? I would assume it does.
That is something I've been desperately looking for because one of the first things that occurred to me, funding for student loans and grants.
Yeah, not
so
seeing
I
that
don't know
yet. I don't see about that, but
if it does, what happens? Do they just call the loans in? You got to pony up 10, 15, 20,000 bucks right now.
Right. Well, all those loans and grants are probably already dispersed, right? I mean, you know, for the school year.
Right. Yeah, hopefully, so that's ideally the case. Yeah.
So.
Well. Yeah. So yeah. Again, freeze on all federal grants and loans beginning at 5 p.m. It does not include Medicare and Social Security. They haven't gotten there yet. It's on the list.
It's
But it's not a part of this particular freeze.
I can't wrap my head around what they're doing here. The State Department officials also were reportedly shocked as the new Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, froze most foreign aid grants.
Right.
And other orders were included with that, including aid to Ukraine. Rubio issued the new guidance Friday, freezing spending on most foreign aid grants for 3 months. Department staffers must issue stop work orders and nearly all existing foreign assistance awards. Effective immediately, the freeze appears to pause aid to Ukraine, Jordan, and Taiwan. Now, I'm wondering if that has anything to do with the military putting a pause on making the weaponry and vehicles that they have throughout the country.
They have a pause on that now.
The military-industrial complex. Yeah. I wonder if it has paused any of that.
Ah, well. Good question.
Yeah.
Grant and loan and financial system programs. Let's see. I'm trying to read here through. Okay. President's agenda includes bans on diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives, and limits on clean energy spending as well. Of course, clean energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just drop the programs on that right away.
That's right.
We don't need clean energy.
We don't want to move into the future there.
No.
Robert from McFarland said disbursements in is February 6th for MATC. Wow.
Okay.
Well, that might stop any of those student loans or grants. I'm not sure. Again,
right.
we're trying to find that in this in this story.
Talking mainly about food and rent assistance, early childhood programs, nonprofits. A lot of nonprofit organizations apparently will be affected, and children's health insurance.
Okay. This is supposedly going to eliminate the financial burden of inflation on our citizens.
You can't have inflation if you don't have any money, any goods, any economy.
That's right.
Somebody asked, here's another text, what about Medicaid? Again, Medicaid has not been addressed yet, or Social Security.
Right.
So far,
unclear.
So good.
They just throw these edicts out there.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to just kind of roll with it. Yeah, everything is frozen. Everything. Information from the National Institute of Health.
We have a bird flu going on.
Right.
Tuberculosis outbreak in Kansas.
Right.
Let's stop the health information from getting out there. Yikes.
I mean, everything is on hold. I don't understand how the country can even run at this point or function.
Right.
And they're not giving any deadlines on how long they're going to hold.
No.
These holds.
No.
So,
not at all.
All right. Let's go to Catherine. She's on the line for us. What do you got for us, Catherine?
Well, you know, I don't know what I got. I don't know what I got. I almost hung up again. I call and I say, I got something. And then I hang up. And I think, that's not smart. But I just shifted around a couple other radio stations this morning. I told you that I was going to spend some time listening to our competitors.
Yes.
You don't have any. Mm. You don't have any. There is no one. So you did the story this morning early, right? At 6 o'clock hour for sure. You were talking about the deportations and how shocking they are.
Mm-hmm.
That you talked about happening in Chicago yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. We were all like, no, what, really? And then you tell the important, really important story that this actually isn't that different than Biden, except how they're doing it. The numbers are not better, more different.
Yeah.
We've been doing this. We've been taking care of our country and borders and stuff like that all the time that even Trump wasn't alive, let alone in power.
Right.
So we are the people, it seems to me, telling the story between the story, between the lines, Tammy Baldwin, between the lines, telling the real story. Why even our own ABC News did the story, 1,200 people got put on planes, and it's getting bigger. Well, yeah, but that's not the truth. That's not the whole story.
Right. Exactly. Right? I mean, you know, if Biden had done the same exact thing, it just wasn't as publicized. And that's what the Democrats never actually do. They never publicize and never tell the public exactly what they're doing and getting at least some kind of credit for it. Not that I would give credit for deporting people, but maybe right. That's why they didn't want to tell anybody. Mm. Yeah. But yeah,
well,
we do try to tell in
job.
Between
you're the. You're doing the good work.
Yes. Yes. All right. Appreciate that, Catherine.
Appreciate that,
right.
Paul. Thank you for that. We got another text in here from Robert. He says, agent of chaos. His goal is to confuse all of us, and he's succeeding.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that fire hose of information coming out of the White House every day,
every
night.
Every day, and there's something else being put on hold or delayed. Yeah. And again, they never tell us when those holds or delays are going to be expired. Just don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a story. I brought this in. You know what happened to the outrage over the drones, right?
Right.
The right wing just had a fit. They thought we'd be being invaded by aliens or another country. You know, there were ships off the coastline putting those drones into our country, and that just disappeared. No one cares about it anymore. No one talks about it. No one's asking. Well, Trump, now that you're president, why don't you finally tell us what those drones were all about? But no, they're not going to say anything, are they? No, of course.
Did the drones stop?
145. Let's listen to this.
Okay.
The Biden administration operates off of this sort of analysis paralysis. And whenever you have new threats to the homeland, you can't sit around with the lawyers and worry about this legal authority, that legal authority.
Yeah.
You have to take swift and decisive action. I think when it comes to the Chinese spy balloons and when it comes to these drone problems that we've seen over the past 4 years, you have an administration that dithers, that operates, again, off of this analysis paralysis. And what you need is the Trump administration, President Trump coming in to say, we're going to take care of these drones. We're not going to allow any of our enemies to permeate our airspace, whether it be through a ballistic missile or whether it be through these new advanced sophisticated drones.
That's right. You know, Trump is right out there telling us all about the drones. The phony outrage, the fake outrage about the drones. Now we know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a non-story all along. All right. God, please. All right, now let's get to the big story I thought was going to be the big story.
Yeah, it's, we got a minute here. So.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. You want to hold on?
Well, I hate to break it to you, John.
Yeah, I know. Now it's not the big story anymore.
Well, can you give us a hint? Can you come back with it?
The big story is that the trade war and the problems that go with it, like paying more money for our food, And stuff that we buy, it's not a big deal. We just have to adapt.
Okay.
And we'll get to that.
All right. All that and also Jim Santel in about 15 minutes on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is before roundabouts were popular in the area.
Yes. Traffic circles.
Yeah. 92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning. And we're welcoming back Brittany Merlot, who spent a whole week in Florida sitting out in the sun, tanning out the beach, watching the Pirates come in.
You went to some sort of party with Pirates? What?
Yeah.
What did a Gasparilla? Oh, what did Gasparilla call it?
Gasparilla. Yep. It's in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Pirates come into the bay and they invade it, and there's cannons shooting off, and everyone's dressed up like pirates.
Oh.
And,
no.
It was a sight to see. It definitely was.
Yeah.
Then they do parades and everything, and it was nice. It was nice. But I will say, I was a little nervous with all the pirates and their swords everywhere.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yes, you saw
the sunshine was great. It was warm. It was wonderful. And I brought that right back with me. How's that?
Well, yes. So, you know, we have had such boring weather here. I'm so glad you got away during this time where you weren't really needed. Your services weren't that important because we had nothing going on here. It's still boring. We have very little snow, no ice, nothing really to talk about.
Yeah.
Make it sound like a big event now.
Okay. It's gonna really blow out there today. Yeah. I'm talking about winds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How windy will it get? What are you talking about?
About 40, 50 miles per hour.
Oh, my God.
Pulling in out of the south, warming us up. We could break record high temperatures today. We're looking at definitely hitting the upper 40s, potentially the low 50s.
Oh, my God.
And the record for today is about 52 degrees, and that's not out of the question. Wow. So a nice warm up, a lot more sunshine than clouds. The clouds will increase throughout the afternoon and into the evening. And then a little cold front pushes through tomorrow. So we do slide back down to the upper 30s before 50s again on Thursday. So a lot of up and down this week.
Okay. All right.
I'm worried about the wind. That. It was pretty windy yesterday and a chunk of my roof blew off. I hope it doesn't happen again.
Oh my God! Where do you live? Never mind. Oh my God!
Power outages, though, definitely possible today.
Really?
Hopefully, your roof stays intact.
Okay. All right.
Well, thanks for the warning. I appreciate it.
Yes. Well, I missed you guys. I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Yeah. Same to you.
We missed you as well. We were waiting for a postcard or a text or anything.
Postcard. I think they make electronic.
I did see a postcard with a hurricane over Florida.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, people really would send that back? It's weird.
Why not? Why not market that as well? All right. Thanks a lot, Brittany. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Brittany Merlot, our civic media meteorologist.
All right. Let's get used to inflation, okay? Let's get used to the trade wars, okay? This is what they're pushing on Fox News now. They've got to tell their viewers that they should get ready for this because this really feeds into the Trump agenda, all right? And you have to adapt to higher prices, fewer choices in food, so Trump can win those trade wars. Let's check it out. Cut 146.
Coffee from Colombia. We actually make our own coffee here, too, in Kona, in Hawaii, right? There's multiple things coming out of our neighbors' countries that aren't sort of reducible to one thing. But I think that's part of what the media has been articulating this entire time, arguing that the GOP reduces humans to an identity, but really it's them shoving these countries into boxes. President Trump sees them as partners.
Yeah, what's interesting is Trump's trying to bring about a world where he'll drop the rate for companies that actually come here and make some of that stuff to 15% tax rate. So we might not have to miss coffee or whatever they think they're going to miss that we can clearly make our own, but maybe not as much of, because maybe some of those countries will come here and they'll package their stuff or distribute it from here.
Yes.
Don't know where to begin.
Wisconsin coffee beans. I can't wait to start growing Wisconsin coffee. What the hell is wrong with those dumbasses? Oh, my God. All right. Ohio forbids professors to teach historical events that did happen. This is both sidesism. Let's play cut 147, please.
As the sponsors of HB1 were laying out their bill for reporters in a press conference, about two dozen protesters were chanting in the hallway outside.
It is actually stripping us of our freedoms of free speech in the classroom, and it's an attack on higher ed in general. For example, they've said in the past that the Holocaust should be taught on both sides, which is insane and very fascist to say. There shouldn't be room for students to say that the Holocaust has never happened or that the Nazis were correct.
Some professors said it would be impossible to teach certain subjects under the new limitations. Pranav Jani says instructors are not indoctrinating students, but rather encouraging them to think critically. He says it would be impossible to teach some subjects labeled controversial, like Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail, for example.
How can you say students are required to read Letter from a Birmingham Jail and also say that structural racism is a controversial topic, because guess what he talks about in that letter? By the way, guess why he's in jail?
Uh-huh.
They don't want us to teach the history of how he got into jail in the first place, but they put him in a quite tokenistic way to say that they're interested in a block writer as well. So there's a bunch of racial politics. There's a bunch of gender politics. There's anti-China politics. There's all sorts of things in here that contradict the stated position, which is we're for intellectual diversity and not for one side being presented, you know, and on the other hand, limiting what we can do based on research, facts, and telling the truth.
Nick Knight Nichols also said this bill could negatively impact campus groups that support minority students who need support within the university community. Students laughed at the assertion made by sponsors of the bill that they're being influenced by liberal woke professors or that they're getting extra credit for protesting. But some say if this bill goes through, it will make them and others think long and hard before committing to staying in Ohio.
That's right.
Joe Ingles, State House News Bureau.
This is Senate Bill 1 in Ohio. They've forbidden professors to teach historical events that did happen. Instead, you're supposed to decide for yourself whether they happened or not. I can't even believe I'm saying this. God. Some kind of Mad Magazine here, you know.
Decide for yourself.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. Well, anyway, excellent. That's happening in Ohio. You got to wonder, you know, what other colleges think of this, or even, you know, possible employers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're hiring people from Ohio now, you're wondering, well, what kind of education did those people get? You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, we have Jim Santel coming up next, right around the corner after the Midwest Farm Report. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Check them out on their east side location or west side location in Madison, or go to verlo.com.
We'll be right back to the action right after this message.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Legal Clinic. Remember Ed's motto, no matter how big your problem is, we'll take it. No matter how weak your case is, we'll take it. And no matter how large your bankroll is, we'll take it.
92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning with our special guest, Jim Santel.
Jim, good morning to you.
Gentlemen, good to be with you. As always, a few things going on in America this morning, yesterday, every day in our lives.
Every day. And the big thing that a lot of people have been talking about is birthright citizenship. I'm actually challenging one of the simplest worded amendments to the Constitution that you can think of besides the Second Amendment, which is real simple too, but they seem to have found a different meaning to it. Now they're looking at the 14th Amendment. This has been something that the right wing has been eyeing for decades to change, and this is their one chance. We know that they understand the Supreme Court is biased, and this is the time to bring up these cases to the Supreme Court, isn't it?
This is the opportunity to articulate in a semi-formal setting, and I say semi-formal only because the argument about this is, let's all say it together, ridiculous, absurd. Include your adjective, whatever you choose to, however you choose to describe this. This is nutso, craziness, right? And it always has been that case. This is the first sentence of the 14th Amendment. We normally think about the 14th Amendment not challenging this issue, but giving some definition of things like equal protection, privileges and immunities, due process. That's what the 14th Amendment is about. But instead, first sentence, and the question once again is that first sentence, does it mean what it says and says what it means? Thankfully, we've got at least one federal district judge. His name is John Cohenour. He's in Washington, the state of Washington. And he said, this is patently absurd. His words, a bit more sophisticated than mine. He said, this is blatantly unconstitutional. He's wondering why it is that lawyers would even appear in the courtroom to advocate something that is so blatantly unconstitutional. He wonders aloud where the lawyers were around the president in the Oval Office when this was signed.
Right.
And yes, he's set another hearing, as he's required to do, to determine whether or not his injunction stopping this from going into effect will hold. It will from him. But plainly, as you just indicated, that will not stop the movement on this. I shouldn't say progress. This is the after he rules, other courts around the country also taking up the same absurd issue. It will go up to appeals courts, and perhaps one day our Supreme Court will decide again what the 14th Amendment means. Birthright citizenship. This is James Madison stuff. And you go into the Federalist Papers, this is what he meant. There was no confusion here, but as you just indicated, this is an opportunity now to see if we can push the crazy into our constitutional law in America.
I want to play a cut for you. This is Jamie Raskin posing this issue. Let's listen.
Let's not use immigration to destroy our Constitution. Unbelievable that a lot of my friends on the other side of the aisle are sitting by idly while Donald Trump proposes by executive order to destroy Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, which establishes that everybody born in the United States is a citizen of the United States. And yet, they just let that go. All of these originalists and textualists who claim to care about what the Constitution stands for, that was the whole purpose and meaning of the 14th Amendment, and now they want to destroy birthright citizenship in America, moving to a citizenship based on race instead of a citizenship based on place, which was the whole purpose of the 14th Amendment, to overturn the Dred Scott decision.
Amazing stuff, isn't it? I remember...
He's got it just right. And beyond that, implicit in what he just said is, we now have a president, I know this has been controversial in the past, we've got a president by the stroke of a pen who has amended the Constitution.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That should be stunning. Again, for everybody across the aisle, that's not how it's done, right? We arguably recently did it. The 28th Amendment may or may not be there now with the Equal Rights Amendment in Joe Biden's last days. This is a president sitting down, putting together a document, affixing his very large, oversized signature and saying, you know what? That sentence, no more. That's not how it's done in America.
That's right.
And if you think it is, again, you've got to go back, maybe not to Ohio, but to some other place where they educate on what the process really is.
There was a case, a Japanese fellow was challenged entry into this country as a citizen, but he couldn't be a citizen because his parents were immigrants. And he took it to the Supreme Court, and I think the Supreme Court, The issue that he brought before the Supreme Court was that if he isn't a citizen, then all of the immigrants that made it into our country and had children, their children weren't citizens after all. And I think that would include all of us, Jim. Right?
Absolutely. And that's a compelling argument, right? Because courts should look at the consequences of what you do, not only presently, but for people who are here. I would not be a United States citizen. My grandparents came from Northern Italy. Are the stories of that are in my annals here,
right,
in my home, and recall that well. Again, this notion of doing something so contrary, not only to the language, the intent, the history of the Constitution, but also think about its practical import. And he makes a compelling argument. You'd like to think that at some point, I used to say about other things, Supreme Court will address this quickly and resolve that emphatically. Plainly, I was very wrong about another thing having to do with whether or not the president can get away with crimes. We don't know anymore in America whether this kind of thing also has legs. It shouldn't. And it is blatantly unconstitutional, as the judge in Washington has said.
Right. They're trying to focus on immigrants from Mexico or other countries, Guatemala. But in this case, of course, you know, our ancestors came from Germany, Norway, and they settled here and had kids, and they were assumed to be citizens, apparently. And now we have to give up on that idea as well. I'd like to hear the Supreme Court justices justify something like that happening, you know?
Right.
Right.
Right. And frankly, you would get justices on the panel, like Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson, Annalena and Kagan, probably asking right down the panel, this is about race, isn't it? This is about the color of the skin of our citizens, our residents. This is about national origin, isn't it, Mr. Chief Justice or Madam Associate Justice? That kind of question should be asked, frankly, by every American right now, even before it gets there. And that is what this is about.
That's right. Well, let's get to another part. Very controversial. All the pardons that have taken place, especially, you know, with the insurrectionists. You know that Trump gave this, like, this overall pardon because he didn't want to deal with individual cases. He didn't want to think about the individual cases. He didn't want somebody to go through it and parse the individual cases. It was just too much work for him. So it's just a broad pen, just pardon everybody. It was just the most amazing things, breathtaking in what happened. Even Republicans are freaked out about it. Some of them.
Well, and Republicans on Capitol Hill, including, again, he's arguably on Capitol Hill as the president of the Senate. Our vice president also said, as you have spoken on this very broadcast, also said, oh, don't worry. Don't worry. This is going to be a case by case basis. Yes. We're going to make sure that the violent people do not get pardons. Well, in fact, the reality is, according to the own documents here, here are the numbers for your listeners. 608 violent criminals convicted were pardoned, and for assaulting, impeding federal officers. Of those, 174 were charged also with deadly or serious weapon use, inflicting bodily harm. Yeah. And what did they use? You know the items as well. We've got chemical spray, 2x4s, bat spray, baseball bats, stun guns, flagpoles, tasers, it goes on.
Yeah.
These are the most violent of the violent. And then, of course, you've got the Proud Boys and others who organized all of this. And now they're pardoned, which means, among other things, their civil rights are restored. And there's nothing wrong with, again, restricting civil rights for convicted felons. Now those are restored. And what that means is, of course, among many other things, they may now once again carry weapons in America in the wake of this violent, horrific conduct by theirs, of theirs. Many other defendants sitting in federal prison wondering, where's my pardon for doing something much less violent than what these people did?
And they were banned from going back to the Capitol, and they lifted that too.
Right.
They can Stuart walk around.
Rhodes,
yes.
Right. Right. The judge almost compelled to do this by virtue of the fact that the pardon lifts, if you will, the jurisdiction of the court. And so he's now holding court, quite literally another kind of court on Capitol Hill in our nation's capital. We just saw that rotunda again a couple of times in recent weeks at Jimmy Carter's memorial service and again at the inauguration. He's now going back and advocating for this kind of violence in that venue. That's, again, one of the many amazing, collateral, horrific things that comes of what Donald Trump did, abusing the pardon power. And again, what is it about? It's about mercy. It's about this expression that you have served your time. And there's something about your life that now, in the wake of all of that, commends you to have your civil rights restored. Just to your first point, too, there's a thing called the Office of the Pardon Attorney. It's inside the Department of Justice. That is the office that should, in normal circumstances, be that those are people who should be reviewing these cases and making recommendations to any president, including Joe Biden, including Donald Trump, about who merits and who doesn't merit a pardon. That's not happening anymore. And because of that, we get these horrific results. President can do it. It is unassailable. You can't challenge this, but it still means that Americans should recoil once again in abject disbelief about people who are now back in our communities. And again, one of them, actually, you may have seen, again, rearrested recently for another gun charge. Another one in a stop by police officers, responds to that and is killed. This is just within days after all this. These are violent people. These are violent people.
Yeah. In fact, I think one of them is being asked to come to the White House for a celebratory meeting. I think it's Stuart Rhodes from The Oath Keepers. Just amazing. Just rub it in. Just keep doing this to us and making this normal. And it is normalizing the possibility of violence in this country and having these groups out there, you know, the Proud Boys and, of course, the Oath Keepers, still working on it, still out there backing them up all the way. And all he has to do is drop a few words, you know, pull a few security details off of previous administration officials, and the threat is out there. And one of the scariest things I thought was Trump actually saying, I think he pulled a security details off of a few of his administrative officials that he fired.
Right. Mike Pompeo, among others.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And they received threats. Now, pulling the security off of them is, I think, just it's almost like a death sentence, you know,
right.
in a way. Right.
It is sending that message. Right.
Right.
That this is someone, again, Americans, for the most part, nor should they have to understand the vagaries of security, but it's not that difficult. It's the notion that there are real live threats right now. This is not about history. There is a threat assessment right now that this person is targeted, right? Mm-hmm. And then you open up the possibility of other people doing, frankly, hate to say it, but yes, the bidding of those people who would want those folks dead. It is the Mike Pompeos. It is the Anthony Fauci's, right? Those folks, the other people have been the subject of
John
threats.
Bolton,
you know, the Mark Milley's, those folks who have been Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and all kinds of people out there. It is an implicit, if not explicit, invitation to more violence. If any of them ends up injured or, heaven forbid, dead, we've got a direct line back to this kind of horrific executive.
He says
conduct.
It's not his fault. He already disclaimed any responsibility whatsoever. If something happened to him, that's their thing.
We're talking with Jim Santel, attorney at law. You can call us at 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK, or send us a text on the Civic Media app. We'll be back with more with Jim right around the corner.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Our own Perry Mason is with us this morning.
Yes.
John and Gordy in the morning, WMDX.
It is 7:52, sunshine today, highs in the mid-40s, back with Jim Santel, attorney at law. John?
All right, let's get into the Biden pardons that he made. And, you know, first, I think too much was made of it. I think that we know that this rabid administration that has taken over are threatening all of these individuals to drag them through the mud, drag them through the courts, take up a lot of time in their lives, go through their savings, you know, trying to defend themselves. I know why he gave these pardons. I know their reason for trying to turn down some of these pardons because, you know, they don't want to admit guilt. But at the same time, this is a different kind of administration, and we're seeing a very vindictive administration. So what is
Absolutely.
Your thought?
Absolutely, and I agree with all of that. Capital letters on all of that. You look to someone, this is Mark Milley talking. He says, after 43 years of faithful service in uniform, protecting and defending the Constitution, I do not wish to spend whatever remaining time the Lord grants me fighting those who unjustly might seek retribution or perceive slight. Here's Tony Fauci likewise saying, let me be perfectly clear, I've committed no crime, and there are no possible grounds for any allegation. He talks about the immeasurable and intolerable burdens, the distresses for me and my family.
Yeah.
Compelling stuff. And that, again, that's the mercy part of a pardon, right?
Yeah.
And so when you look at this, I don't think, well, there are people who can disagree with you and me, the three of us, the four of us, including Sam as well. But the reality is there's a reason for Joe Biden doing this. It is protecting these people who have done nothing wrong.
Yep.
In this time where you've got a vindictive president who's about to, we're going to hear of the hearing tomorrow for the incoming attorney general named Pam Bondi, who has also talked about these kinds of things, retribution, Kash Patel, our FBI director, who's got an enemies list. Yes, Joe Biden doing the right thing in terms of the present and protecting people who have done nothing wrong, and just the opposite, who've done amazing things for our government and should not have to spend the remaining days, hopefully they're long and many, doing that. Here's my concern. And again, it is much of an academic concern. It's in the argument, which also goes to what Donald Trump has done in the end to our country and the way in which we approach these things. And it's implicit in what Tony Fauci says. Supreme Court has says when you accept a pardon, and that's true of, frankly, of all of Donald Trump's pardons as well, all those 608 violent criminals, the 1,600 he pardoned, they are all explicitly acknowledging guilt. There's a Supreme Court case from many years ago called Burdick that says, you take a pardon, you're saying to the world, I committed a crime. And again, superficially, the issue, of course, with the Tony Faucis and the Mark Milleys and many other people, including Joe Biden's own family, are that they did nothing wrong. And now what we're doing is we're turning the justice of this on its head and basically saying, for all time, as Donald Trump and others, this congressman who immediately after Donald Trump did this said, see, this is confirmation. The Bidens have engaged in criminal conduct. And here's the confirmation of it. Our president had to pardon them. That's the concern going forward. And here's the, and again, putting aside the immediacy of that, here's the longer term issue. Now we're going to be in a cycle when Donald Trump, who now has the pardon power, gets up in a day, in a year, in 4 years, and says, for anybody who commits crimes right now in his presidency for the next few years, I'm going to pardon you, and we've got a lawless society, at least a lawless government, where you can commit crimes knowing that the president will give you preemptive pardons. You'll walk away, and we're going to get in this cycle then of every president protecting, in some cases legitimately, for people who haven't done anything wrong, but in other cases, for the future criminals inside our government who should be prosecuted, they get a pass too by this precedent. That's the reason why the Adam Schiffs and the Adam Kinzingers and others of the world are saying, this is now getting us down a constitutional road that is very difficult. You spoke before about, right, Congressman Jamie Raskin. He said, innocent people are being pardoned in the morning. Guilty people are being pardoned in the afternoon. He's talking about the Biden administration pardons and then the Trump pardons. He's right about that. It is a time of mores being stood on their head, and we'll see what the consequences of all of this misbehavior, not by Joe Biden, but by Donald Trump and his people. We'll see what the consequences are in this area as well.
Well, this was all started by lies from Trump. I mean, this is a lie that Trump told over and over, and now everybody's starting to believe it, that it was lawfare, that they were going after him, some kind of paranoid trip that this guy was on for many years. I mean, he was going to be elected president in 2016, so obviously we're going to take a closer look at him. It's not like we're focusing on him and trying to get even with him. We didn't have anything to get even with him with, but he was going to be president, so we were very, very cautious about who we were electing president. And he thought, well, no, they're coming after me, lawfare. And then now we've gone over the top. I think this is the genie is out of the bottle on this thing, and we have redefined what a pardon does do. Now it is meant to protect people in many ways, and you know, either good or bad. And I think we're going to have to live with
that. That is the summary. That's it. That's where we are in 2025 and beyond. That's the concern for all of us who are caring about our government, about our nation.
Yeah.
Jim, we are out of time. Thank you for joining us.
Jim, I wish our discussions ended on a happy note somewhere along the way, but one of these days it'll happen.
One of these days. One of these days, right? Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Take care.
You bet. Listen to Jim Santel on Civic Media's Saturday show, Amicus Law Review. Mm-hmm. That's going to do it for us.
Yes.
Tomorrow, Mike McCabe, author and blogger, will join us. Stephanie Miller is next.
Can't wait.
Have a great day. So long.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.